last half century of the cinema has seen a substantial rise in the academic study of the moving images that surround us, and most colleges and universities today have some form of film studies program. The University of Texas at El Paso is no exception. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. My guest today is a senior lecturer in film studies in UTEP's Department of Communication, and I'm happy to have Bobby Gutierrez back on the program. Good morning.
Good morning, Chuck.
It's great to see you. I think it's been about 2 years since you were on to talk about what's going on at UTEP, so welcome back.
Thank you.
I wanted to, at the top of the show, talk about maybe the difference people may have in their minds between a film school and a film studies program.
Mm-hmm.
So one, the film schools are typically more production-oriented, teaching people how to go into the industry and make movies, whereas a film studies program, similar to what UTEP has, is really more geared towards how we think about movies.
Yes. And you know what? Another distinction would be that, you know, we can look at a film program as more production-based and technical, and the film studies as more theoretical.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, film studies can be very technical.
Sure.
You know, with the terminology. And I think, you know, we tend to see it as visual media, eye candy, films as visual media and eye candy.
Just entertainment.
Entertainment, when actually so much engineering goes behind it.
Yeah. And I know you have a background in production, so you're kind of sitting between two worlds.
Yeah, and even more specifically, production and post-production.
Right.
So it's rare to have someone who, and editors are kind of unsung heroes, you know, they've...
Right.
They help to tell the story and
the
really
invisible art.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a lot of responsibility for an editor because not only are they creative, but they're problem solvers. They're technical, and they help to maintain the vision of the filmmaker.
Right. So when you're doing film studies, I think it's a good point that you just made, which is you've got to teach students first the language of film,
mm-hmm.
how they're made, so that they can understand the conscious choices that are being made during a production that create the art that you're now studying and searching for meaning.
Right. Well, you know, when I remind the students, and I say this not as as a condescending statement, but more as to make them rise to the occasion, and that is Intro to the Art of Motion Picture course that I teach. It's a freshman-level class. The class is big, you know, anywhere from 60 to 120 students.
Wow.
So what I do is I remind them that no one is going to come out and finish the class as an expert. There's just too many terminologies
right.
and concepts. So I think as teachers, as educators, we're charged with feeding that hunger for knowledge. And in the case of a film studies class, the first thing I do baseline is introduce them to terms. And I still approach the class a little differently. So, you know, once we understand a certain terminology and just a brief history of films, I tend to approach it from a critical thinking standpoint through the lens of social justice.
Mm.
And what I do is I use the film as a starting point for dialogue. So, for instance, the film Freedom Riders is the first film that I open up with typically with Hilary Swank. And,
interesting.
Yeah. And what I do is I introduce the concept in addition to film vernacular, but the social theory concept of ideology. And in that film, so ideology being, you know, a kind of an amped up form of stereotyping, how filmmakers are almost forced to use stereotypes, because if they shoot 100 hours of footage and a film is 90 minutes,
uh-huh.
there's a lot of editorial decisions made. And because of that, we have to, filmmakers have to take snapshots of culture, snapshots of ethnicity to tell their story.
Which we as the audience then propel into stereotype.
Exactly.
Because that's how our brains work.
Right.
And so we put those characters in certain boxes and say, okay, that's that sort of person, and I understand that character now.
Right. And even setting, you know, a
it's
good
a
example.
Shorthand, I guess.
Yeah. And you know, one way that a filmmaker may portray a working class neighborhood is a lot of fast food restaurants and a lot of concrete,
mm-hmm.
a lot less landscape, less softscape,
uh-huh.
but a lot of hardscape, mass transit. So, you know, rather than a filmmaker having a thought bubble above a character that says, wow, I'm in a inner city or rough neighborhood, instead they show visually, they
mm-hmm.
tell the story. So anyway, I just raise awareness and have the students be mindful of how filmmakers communicate.
When students come, say, to an introduction class, are they coming thinking maybe that they already know a lot about film because we're surrounded by moving images already, but are they quickly surprised by just how shallow maybe they've been thinking about the images that are coming into their brains?
Well, you know, I'd say some students are very well, self-educated, mm-hmm. you know, as far as films, you know, they watch the director's cut or
right.
the director's comments. But I'd say you're right for the most part. And, you know, they're surprised at the depth of thinking that it takes. And also, and the other thing I remind them too, Chuck, in addition to the entertainment value, is that Hollywood is a business first.
Yes.
And the commodity is the film, you know, just like, here I have a bottle of water in front of me, you know, so that's that company's product. But the film is the product. So I touched down a little bit on the business aspects, but then again, really make them mindful of the power of the message of the filmmaker. Mm-hmm. We have to remember, too, the power of the red button being the record button, mm-hmm. and assuming they're shooting on digital film. And the power of the red button, because look what happened not too long ago in Benghazi, one poorly made film, well, what a catastrophe that caused.
So you're engaging them in current events as well to show what the myriad, I guess we're even moving beyond film, you know, this is a YouTube generation and there's so much media coming at them just from television, satellite, cell phones, all of these critical ways of looking at moving images are applicable. And those questions are applicable to all sorts of moving images, not just film.
Right. And, you know, way back in the day, I took film study courses. And, you know, I remind the students, back then it used to be really tough because a professor I had would show us 30-second to 60-second clips of a film, and then she would move on. Hmm. And, oh, we wanted to watch more. So I make it a point. These classes are typically 3 hours long, once a week, mm-hmm. to show them the entire film. But I remind them that it's not popcorn and Coke environment, that it is critical thinking. Mm-hmm. They need to take notes. And what I have them look for is not what's obvious, not what's on the salient level, but look at what's latent, what speaks to them. So I could show one film on Once Were Warriors, a film that was made in New Zealand about 15 years ago, mm-hmm. and alcoholism plays a big role in the film, in the
right.
theme. And
some gender issues.
Yeah, and gender issues. So for some students, perhaps if alcoholism is not something they experience, it speaks differently than the student next to them.
The program is a film studies minor degree, which means that I guess it can be attached to just about any degree program
sure.
on campus. So you get a wide range of students. This is there's not a specialty that you then go on to from the minor degree.
Right. And I think that's why I enjoy teaching the class, because it's the one course that I teach that has students from all colleges.
Right.
And but, you know, surprisingly, I guess the thought would be that liberal arts students would be more engaged. But,
yes.
boy, you have the engineering students and even nursing and education students.
What I like to tell people, though, is that, you know, once a student has acquired those critical thinking skills to analyze a film, say, that's applicable to all sorts of things, literature,
definitely.
Advertising,
mm-hmm.
you know, how you break down any number of cultural products.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really a movable feast. You can
yeah.
you can take that training and apply it to lots of different areas.
You're right. And, you know, and I'm a visual thinker. And the way I look at it, Chuck, is that as educators and as students become, you know, adults and even as youngsters, they're introduced to different concepts and ideas and experiences, and those are stems of knowledge.
Yeah.
But as they get older, those stems are nurtured and grown, and it may take 10 years for it to grow big enough where they start to connect dots, and those dots become closer together, so they're able to connect how math relates to this one film or history relates to another. And I always remind the students, too, that as filmmakers, the camera is the brush and the canvas is the screen. So it's just a different way to tell a story.
And there's also that there's people behind that.
Yeah.
There are people that have come up with a story and they've made conscious decisions about how to tell that story, and that means something.
Yeah.
There are very few filmmakers, I think, that put all that effort in to just make entertainment.
Right. And also, I bring up the point about James Cameron, who thought of the Terminator character in a hotel in Paris. And I said, how many of you have had dreams? I asked the students. And now think about millions of dollars later, someone making that dream of you, realizing the dream that you have, you know, making it come to life and on screen. So it's an amazing feat to go from the mind to the screen.
Do any of these students, I know UTEP has some production programs, which you also teach on the production side in the Department of Communication. When you talk about the technical aspects and the industrial aspect of making movies, some of those students then get interested in coming over to some of your production classes?
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely. We've had some students actually change majors because of that.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, because of the film class, yes. And our film department, our digital media production major, I would not classify us as either a film school nor a television school.
Right.
I would say we're what a lot of universities our size are, and that's we're a mobile production school.
And learn by doing.
Yeah, learn by doing, exactly. So we have very few fixed pieces of equipment. Everything can be moved and transported.
Fantastic. Well, I look forward to seeing you again soon and maybe getting some of your colleagues on the show, too, to talk about the specific coursework that they're teaching. But thank you so much, Bobby, for coming in and speaking with us today.
Thank you, Chuck. I appreciate it.
I've been discussing the academic study of film with UTEP senior lecturer Bobby Gutierrez. The UTEP Department of Communication offers a film studies minor with several classes to choose from each semester. More information on the film studies minor degree program can be found at academics.utep.edu. A final program note, the El Paso Museum of Art's World Cinema Series will screen the 1996 film Basquiat today at 2 p.m. Basquiat retells the life story of an African-American homeless man who is befriended by Andy Warhol and becomes a sought-after artist before dying of a drug overdose. The film is rated R and stars Jeffrey Wright, David Bowie, Dennis Hopper, Gary Oldman, and Christopher Walken. The museum's World Cinema Series is open to the public with a suggested $3 donation to the museum. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.